Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. You are listening to Donna Fox and the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show. And I am so glad that all of you can join me tonight. We have some very interesting questions coming up. And there's an interesting message from the Akasha tonight for each and every one of you that decides to call in. So I've got to tell you that if you're interested in calling in, that this would be the night to do it. And I welcome your questions. Now, let's just a real brief information for those people who have never listened before. The Akashic Wisdom show is about life using the Akashic records in all areas of your life. Occasionally we have guests, and occasionally you are the guest. Hopefully you will be one of the guests tonight by calling. If you're curious about what the Akashic Records are, I will give you a brief definition. And after that, you can go to the information section of my radio program here on bbsradio.com. And that, if you go to the show information, it'll give you much more information on my work. But the Akashic Records are basically the life path strategy of your incarnation of this lifetime. But they also contain all the information from everything that and everybody, every human, every being that has ever lived on the planet, and that as well as galactically. So it means every human, every animal, every tree, every fish, anything that has ever lived, that has a vibration, and everything has a vibration and frequency. And that information is all stored in the Akashic Records. And so what we do is retrieve information for those of you who have questions. The way we access the Akashic Records is through a holy prayer, and that prayer is a vibrational key. And I have opened up the records of the show tonight, and I have opened up my personal records. And so those people who will call in will be a part of the show. Therefore, their information will be here for them. So to give you the numbers you can call in the U.S., it's 877-876-5227. And for the U.S. and Canada, is 888-815-9756. Or if you want to dial direct, if you're out of the country, our country code is 01, and it's 530-876-3227. So we have a variety of questions tonight. We have a question, actually, a couple of questions from last week. And so if there's some folks out there that were concerned or thinking about the information from last week, I have a listener that has sent us in some information here. And it seems that, based on my emails, there was a bit of a debate about the accuracy of the information about 2012 and the accuracy of the Mayan predictions. And so the listener is asking what is the truth of that? And you know, when we talk about what the truth is, what the record keepers are saying, that the truth is truly dependent on the individual's choice of experience in this lifetime. And so as 2012 comes forward, there is truly no blanket, absolute way of doing or being. For this reason, the information that is coming forward here is that because we all have a different level of not only experience but depth, we also have a different experience of how how the individual enlightenment is to occur. Clearly, it's important for us as humans to truly get our emotional baggage in check, not just because of 2012, but just because we're going to have a lot happier life if we can move into a state of our own grace and move into a place where we feel peace within us. Because when we feel peace within us, we then spread that sense of peace to others around us. It's also important that humans not adopt a sense of fear or dread of the future. And that information has to do with us taking ourselves in hand, if you will, to really get clear about what our fears are and how we can neutralize them. Now, and I do welcome questions on this. Now, it's important also, you know, we live as human beings, we're as you've heard me say before, if you've listened to the program, that we're this planet, you know, we have chosen to incarnate on this planet. It is a planet of struggle. I mean, that's just the way it is. And what we can do, that's the choice we make by incarnating onto this planet. And what the record keepers are saying is, we as humans tend to make things way more complicated than we need to. Our experience on this planet can change at any moment, basically by our shifting our focus. You know, there are many parallel universes that are available for our consciousness to focus in on. And what is meant by that, or what they're saying is those parallel universes aren't necessarily ones that are, like, way out there. The parallel universes I'm talking slow because I'm listening to what the record keepers are saying and I'm repeating what they're saying to me. Yeah. The parallel universes can be not only dimensional, you know, multidimensional, but they also can be a way of shifting what they're saying, a thought focus. So, for example, when you're speaking of fear and neutralizing fear, it has to do with doing the work of being vigilant to understand the various components of the fear and the origin of that fear and the multiple dimensions of the fear, and then step one by one, really dissecting, that's an interesting word, dissecting the truth of what the fear is. Because we adopt fears from what we heard as children and in our environment and from the news. I mean, what they're saying is that when babies are born, they are not fearful. They become fearful as they grow into life. So it is possible that we can return to the innocence with the intelligence of the adult. So we can return to the innocence and faith of being trusting with the intelligence of our adult mind. So the way that plays in is that the idea here of 2012 being something to quote unquote fear is what they're saying is a misnomer, is another way of energies controlling human vibration. Now, The other piece that needs to be understood is that we don't need to make it complicated. This is what they were talking about before. We as humans on this planet want to make things more complicated and want to change things rather than appreciating things that we have as they are. You see, it has to do with becoming very much aware of not only where you are, but also where you want to be. And they're bringing in the idea of accessing your passion. And the idea of accessing your passion has to do with becoming very visually aware of why you get up in the morning. And the question they would like to pose to people out there is to ask, what are you living for? It's not like why you it's like why you're here. It's what is your life about? What is the bottom line essence of your life? And so the information here that was shared about 2012 is very important information for those people who can identify with it. And there's for those people out there who cannot identify with it or don't identify with it, then you need to find your place of what your truth is in the here and now rather than looking toward the future. Now, you see, the other piece is the accuracy. The other question is what is the accuracy of the record keepers as it pertains to future events? It's within the records, there is information about the possibilities and probabilities of the future. Now, if you can wrap your mind around this, there are multiple dimensions that are playing out at the same time that have that have different endings. It's almost like, this is an interesting thing that what they're explaining is that it's like each one of our lives is like the game of Clue. Now, that's a very interesting way. And if you've ever played the game of Clue, it has multiple endings or multiple possibilities for the endings, or multiple possibilities for the person who committed the crime, if you will. But what they're saying is that our lives are playing out on multiple dimensions, and based on what choice we make in the here and now shifts us automatically to the next dimension or the other path. Now, I'd like you here's the picture they're showing me. They're showing me a grid that has lines out in front of me. And the lines cross over each other and compact to each other. And what they're showing me is that the lights on the grid can move in one direction and intersect with two other lines and move in another direction and then come back to the same path. It's almost like we're all, each lifetime, if you will, has its own direction and multiple channels or multiple opportunities in which to move. And so consequently, the future is based on free will choice, as far as how we get to the final destination, if you will. Destination being the experience. And so the idea of future predictions have, again, more to do with the individual's free will choice than they have to do with anything specifically written in stone. And it can change in an instant. That's what they're telling me. The future can change in an instant depending on what level of consciousness the individual chooses to move to make their decisions from. And I don't know, they're not giving me examples, so if you have a question on that, please call in. So we've gotten those, nobody gets over here. This is, and the next question here is very interesting. And I encourage the person who asks these questions to call in if these are not being answered to your satisfaction. But the next question is, what is the understanding the record keepers would like us to know about the importance of having compassion for ourselves and others? Well, the definition of compassion that they're giving me here is very interesting. Might want to write this down. Compassion is the art and action of being silent and holding empathy from a place of love for oneself and others in situations and experiences that are observed overall. Now, so what does that mean? So I'm asking the record keepers, what does that mean? So for the self, from a personal point of view, from the self, compassion for the self has to do with moving to, now here's where we go to the different dimensions, the different dimension of thought. The idea of compassion for the self has to do with really moving like an eagle, if you will, to a different wind draft, to observe the bigger picture of your individual life, and realize that at any given moment, you are doing the best you can with what you have. And should you choose to take a different path around doing what you consider to be your best, that moves you to a different dimension of thought. And the more you know that you can move to a different dimension of thought, and the less you criticize yourself for what opportunities you suspect were missed. So the idea of moving to a different dimension of thought, knowing that you're doing the best you can with what you have, taking action to shift your own thought process to where you would like it to be, that is the compassion for self. It's allowing yourself to be who you are, appreciating your journey, and also being very actively involved in the journey you're taking. That, in and of itself, is a compassionate way of being with yourself. Now, the compassionate, it's not about letting yourself off the hook, by the way, and it's also not about beating yourself up. It's about becoming aware of what parts of your life you feel are working and what parts of your life are not working. And rather than beating yourself up about those parts of your life that are not working, become aware of what isn't working. They're showing me, it's like separating out the columns and saying, okay, I like this, I like that, I like this, I don't like that. And in those areas that you don't like, rather than beating yourself up again or lamenting that there's nothing you can do or allowing yourself to move into a cycle of pain and a cycle of regret, take those items that you don't like, if you will, or you feel that you would like to remove from your life, and become very vigilantly aware of the action steps necessary to shift that consciousness. So it's not about beating yourself up, it's about becoming very conscious and compassionate with yourself about moving on to a different level of consciousness, a different level of thought that will take you to where you want to go. Now, is there anything else on the personal level here? Again, what the record keepers are saying is, it's you do yourself no good. In fact, you really lower your vibration. And this is very important for you folks to really hear. You lower your vibration every time you speak to yourself in a negative way. And so it makes it even harder for you to raise your vibration to move on to a different thought process. So the first step is to become very vigilantly aware of where you feel you have let you down. Where do you feel you have let yourself down? This is not from a critical point of view of being critical of yourself. It's about noticing what you notice, becoming aware of what's working, what's not working, what you like, what you'd like to change, and the parts you would like to change is where you want to focus about this isn't working, and choosing action steps that will shift you out of that. And it's not about saying, well, that hasn't worked before, because if you move into the energy of that hasn't worked before, you're going to go right back into that old groove. It's about creating action steps that will shift your attitude into a new place, into a new light. Again, another level of consciousness. And so what's very important for you to know is that you have, again, here we go with free will choice, the free will choice to become very much aware of what you want to do at every moment. You see, what humans do is, again, they're working off of other people's opinions and belief systems that no longer serve them. And it really is really very much about what you want. Very much about what you want. Yeah. Now, the second part of that question has to do with compassion for others. And that compassion for others has to do with holding the light, or holding the energy, for them to be who they are, from a space of non-judgment, at the same time, it's also a space of, what they're talking about here is non-involvement. What that means is, the idea of being compassionate for someone is not feeling sorry for them. Feeling compassion for someone is not about fixing them. Feeling sorry or being compassionate for someone is not about fixing. That's feeling sorry for. Or being compassionate is more about allowing them to be who they are, holding the light and the possibility for their upliftment. However, at the same time, not expecting them to change just because you want to feel effective as a healer, for example. And this is an important piece here. There are healers that feel less than if their clients don't heal. They think they're doing it wrong, or they're not effective. And the reality is, it has nothing to do with them. It has to do with the individual client who has partnered with the energy that you have offered, that you are holding for that person, and it's their contract with their life purpose or with their, it's really more of a life purpose, it's a life soul intention of experience. So that what you bring to the table, if you will, is a way of helping them heal their heart and their attitude. And should their bodies choose to heal with that energy, so be it. However, it's not about judging what you think is right for other people. So the compassion is holding them in a place of love for them to discover who they are when it's time. There's only so much help you can offer without being intrusive and without being manipulative. So just know that your compassion has more to do with allowing them to be who they are. Because sometimes that's the greatest gift you can give them. It's a gift that they've never had before. The idea of feeling compassion or feeling accepted for exactly who they are without having to feel like they have to change or that they're not good enough the way they are. And so that's what the record keepers are calling compassion. That's a very interesting question. And the idea of, and the importance of having compassion for ourselves and others is key in our transformation. We must be compassionate with ourselves, because without the compassion, it is impossible for us to shift our consciousness. It's impossible to make that leap, if you will, or to create a new groove, because the compassion allows us to view our possibilities and probabilities without judgment. And so that's absolutely key. The last question from this listener was, what is the most powerful state of being, love or compassion? What is the overall empowering state of being? Is compassion an aspect of love, or is love an aspect of compassion? That's an excellent question. So it's multiple layers to that question. And so I'm going to wait for the answer on this one. So what the record keepers are saying is that the ultimate goal of humanity as a collective consciousness is to experience love of self as a way of being. there are a few individuals who claim to love themselves, but they are few and far between. Most humans are taught not to love themselves. They're taught to put others first. And the idea of loving someone else more than yourself has been the Judeo-Christian ethic, if you will, or a part of their ethic. And so what the record keepers are saying is that humanity as a consciousness now has the opportunity to move into the dimensional thought of accepting oneself and loving oneself. That's where it's almost like the species is heading, although it may not appear that way in many areas. What they're saying is there's a small minority of consciousness that is shifting. What they mean by small minority of consciousness is that when you have over, 5 billion people on a planet, and you have 2 or 3 million that are changing consciousness, although 2 or 3 million sounds like an incredible number, when compared to 5 billion or more, or 10 billion or more, it's a smaller percentage. However, consciousness is shifting. And the question of love or compassion or love, is that compassion is actually a stepping stone to love. That's what they're saying. Compassion is a stepping stone to love. That for some people, they can achieve compassion easier than they can achieve love. In their definition. However, the idea of moving into a space of non-judgment and moving into a space of holding energy for another human being or themselves is a compassionate thing to do. However, having them move to the label or definition of love is another step. And some are more apt to be compassionate than they are apt to be loving. And that's an interesting concept, but I understand it. Very interesting. Very interesting. So I want to give you those numbers again. So if you have any comments of this, please give a call. Telephone number here to call in the U.S. is 877-876-5227. And in Canada, or you can use this either Canadian or U.S., 888-815-9756. Or you can call direct. It's the country code of 01 at 530-876-3222. So that's very interesting. When information like this comes forward, I really don't remember what I'm saying, so I'm going to have to listen to the archive of this show so I can get that. So just want to make a comment that if you're just tuning in, and we're talking about compassion, love, and 2012 and all that wonderful stuff. If you're curious about the beginning of this program, the first half hour, if you will, you can log in to bbsradio.com, and it says archives, and you would look for the April 20th show for Akashic Wisdom, and it will have all, you know, you'll have the full show. And then you can listen to it, and you can download it, if I'm not mistaken. I think there's a small charge for listening to the archives, but it's not just the archives of Akashic Wisdom. Once you pay your dollars, I think it's just I don't have the exact amount, but it will show you, okay, that you can actually, you get to download all of the different shows on BBS Radio. So be aware that's available to you. Oh, we have a caller. Hello, caller.
Hi, Donna.
Hi, who is this?
This is Bill from Philadelphia.
I'm sorry, from Bill, did you say?
Yes.
From Philadelphia?
Yes.
Hey, how are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. How can we help you tonight?
I have a question. One is, how do you learn to be able to see your Akashic records? And once you're able to do that, are you able to use that information to make better decisions?
Oh, sure. It's interesting. You know, I'm doing a class in Philadelphia in July.
Okay.
Yeah, but anyway, the way that I work with the Akashic records is I was taught I use the Holy Prayer. And it's a specific prayer. It's a vibrational key. And that specific prayer keys in, and it expands the vibration and the energy to make the information accessible.
Okay.
And so when I say the prayer, and again, it's a specific prayer. It is not a religious prayer. The prayer was actually created or brought forth from the Mayans. The Pleiadians gave it to the Mayans. The Mayans gave it to a man by the name of Johnny Prochaska, who gave it to my teacher, Mary Parker. And it was the actual prayer was translated from Mayan to Spanish to English. And so it has to do with a vibrational shift that happens. I'm a member of an organization called Akashic Record Consultants International, and we use this prayer, and that's the way I've been doing it for the last 11 years, and that's the way I was taught, and that's the way I teach. And so I teach people how to actually access their own Akashic records. I also teach them how to access the records of other people, the land, and animals. So those are different classes, and then what happens is that in a level one class, where you learn how to access your own Akashic records, it will do exactly what you asked. It will help you make decisions. You can use the Akashic records in every area of your life, from expanding creativity. And the way you use the Akashic records in decision-making is to ask the record keepers to help you understand and show you how it feels for one decision opposed to another decision. So the record keepers will never tell you what to do, but they'll give you all the information you need in order to make you the appropriate decision. Does that help you?
Okay. Yes.
Yeah. If you're in Philadelphia, but I am going to be doing a workshop in June in Pittsburgh. If
okay.
That's of all of interest to you. And in fact, I don't again, but I know that I'm going to be in Philadelphia in July. And if you email me, I'd be happy to put you on my email list and let you know when that's going to be.
Okay.
Okay. And for you listeners, let me give you that email. It's info@akashicwisdom.com. Is that helpful?
Yes. Thank you very much.
Yep. And how did you hear about the program?
We met at a Lightspeed Learning.
Oh.
In Philly.
Oh, right. Well, you know what? I bet you I have your information.
Yes. I'm going to email you tomorrow.
Say again?
I'm going to email you tomorrow to get on your...
That's wonderful. Were you there with your wife?
I'm sorry?
Were you there with a friend or a wife?
Yes.
Uh-huh. Great. Good. Well, thank you for calling and asking that question. I appreciate your time.
Thank you.
Good.
Thank you, Donna.
Thanks for listening.
Bye.
Okay, bye-bye. Okay, so ladies and gentlemen, let me give you those dates since we have somebody who's curious. I'm going to be in Pittsburgh at a lecture at the Journeys of Life bookstore on June 6th, just for your own information. going to be doing a two-hour lecture in the evening on June 6th, and I'm going to be available for personal consultations on the 7th and 8th. And then I'm going back to Pittsburgh, and I'm going to be doing a level 1 and level 2 the 20th, 21st, and 22nd of June. And then in Philadelphia, I'm going to be in Philadelphia on July 25th, 26th, and 27th for a level 1 and level 2. And to jump back into May, if you're curious about Cleveland, in Cleveland I'm going to be doing a level 1 and level 2 in May 30th, 31st, and June 1st. So there you have May, June, and July schedule for yourself if that's something that you would like to know about. And if you would like to get on my email list, again, just email me some questions or email me your email, and I will be more than glad to let you know when that's happening. So, okay, well, thank you, Bill, for calling. I appreciate you listening. The next question, and again, if you folks want to call in, please call in with your questions or email me. I'm online right now, so if you want to email me a question, if you don't feel like being on the radio, you can certainly email me your question right now at info@akashicwisdom.com. That's akashicwisdom.com. So feel free to email me. Okay. Now, I had a question from a gentleman by the name of Ken, and there's another question here that somebody just emailed me. Wait a minute. Okay. So, and Ken had emailed me from Tallahassee, Florida, and his question actually was a very interesting. What he asked, first of all, he wanted to understand about how to learn about the Akashic Records, very much like Bill's question. That's why I'm going to kind of segue to this one. And what he wanted to know is how many people, and do I travel to other cities? And just for your own information, yes, I do. Have prayer, will travel. I will come to where you are for a beginning class, a level 1. I need a minimum of 12 people, and the person who sponsors me gets the workshop for free. And I can do a lecture. We can certainly work it out. If this is of interest to you, if you have a spiritual community that you feel would benefit by knowing about how to open up their own personal Akashic Records, if you want to know more about what's involved with the workshop, I'm happy to talk to anyone that would like to have that information. You can either email me with your telephone number, and I'm happy to call you, or if you would like to call me, you can call me personally at 216-691-1233. Leave a message, and I'll be happy to call you back. Or if I'm at my desk, I'm happy to talk to you personally at the time. But his question, Ken's question, was that his creative energies are very puzzling, and he can't make out a clear pattern, though he feels a change may be coming in his path. And I want to just speak, because what is coming up in this question, the underlying information here is that what he's trying to understand is his own personal passion. That's what I'm hearing that this question's about. And there are many people out there that are trying to decide what they want to do when they grow up. And they want to understand, there are people who are 50, 60, 70 years old that are still trying to figure that out. And there's nothing wrong with that, and there's nothing wrong with having more than one passion in your lifetime. However, one of the things that's important for you to discover is, what is it that gets you up every morning? It's the question that was asked before. Why are you here now? What are you living for? It's not what is your vocation. It's what is the reason for your life the way it is, or more along the lines of, what is in your heart? So if someone were to define you, and you were to say, I came here in this lifetime to fulfill fill in the blank. It doesn't have to be one thing. It can be a multiple of things. Or if money were no object, I would fill in the blank. Or another way of asking that question for yourself is if you can imagine yourself years from now, you're ready to leave the planet, and someone says to you, how do you want to be remembered? What do you want people to say about you? What do you want on your tombstone? I stand for Mary Smith was. Who are you? What is your compassion? What is your passion? What is it that deep in your soul you want to look at? What are you the most curious about? And remember that what is true today may not be true next week or next month. That doesn't make it anything less. But dreams are important, and goals can create dreams. And that's a whole other program that we'll have on how to actually create your goals that will fulfill your dreams. That would be a really good show for people to email me what their dreams are and for me to work with them personally on the air to help them set their goals of what action steps they need to take. So if that's of interest to you, I want you to email me your dreams. What do you dream of being? What would you love to do if money or education were not an issue? What is the dream that you want to create? What is it? What results do you want to create? What do you want to be? And let's work together, and we'll work with people. I'll maybe work with two or three people on the program, and you all can listen in on how that works. How about that? That sounds like fun. So back to Ken, to answer your question about your creative energies. You say that they're puzzling and you can't make out a clear pattern, though you feel a major change may be coming. Again, remember, we don't necessarily do futures, but what would be important for you, Ken, is to write down the pieces and parts of the creative energies you already know so that you can then begin to not only fit those pieces together, but to find out what the missing pieces are of that puzzle. So for you out there who are also trying to discover your creativity, your passion, it would be very important to write down what you already know you love to do or you're curious about, and then move into your own personal knowing of what's missing or what else do you need. And if you get stuck, or you hit a bump, then you got to call me, and we'll work it out together, and I can help you. But Ken, I would like to talk to you personally, so if you're listening, I want you to know you included your phone number, and I will call you personally about this, okay? Okay. All right, next question here that I've gotten email for is, we're back to what we were talking about before, compassion, etc., and love. It says, what about those who say we need to step out of the duality of love-hate, all duality, in fact, to accept / allow all states of being? Huh. And then the next question is, but love is still the state of being we are wanting to achieve, yes? Well, what's happening here is what's coming forth in records is the question here, it says, What about those who say we need to step out of the duality of love-hate, all duality in fact, to accept / allow all states of being? What quote-unquote those other people are saying has to do with we as humans moving out of judgment of right or wrong. And so the idea is it's a the state of being, of loving or hating, is like a yin-yang. But when you say love or hate, it's a judgment. And what they're talking about is a state of being that is total acceptance. And that total acceptance moves into peace. And that peace moves into joy and bliss. And it's at that point that you, when you move into joy and bliss, that love is a state of being without judgment. So the idea here is, and then we go back to compassion. That's why compassion is a step toward love. But there's many people who can't use the definition, quote unquote, of love, even though they feel it. So I'm not sure if that answers your question. And if it doesn't, you need to please let me know. Okay. Oh, here's an interesting question that just came forward. It says, can you please talk about the Essene women? Were they called the Marys? Are we becoming the Marys now? It's a very interesting question. And so, what's interesting about this question is what's coming forward from the records is that the Essene women, this is from the sect, the Essene women, that's E-S-S-E-N-E, what the record keepers are saying is they were witnesses of wisdom. And they were also wisdom writers. What I'm hearing is there are scrolls that were written by these women that were actually destroyed, as well as incorporated under other names as part of the Bible. As part of the Bible. That's very interesting. And the Marys, which she's talking about, are we becoming Marys again? Were they called Marys? It was not an affectionate term, but it was almost like what I'm hearing is it was a designation, it was because they were wisdom writers and they were witnesses of wisdom. The Marys were many and were divine channels of information. And what the picture they're showing me is that these women would literally sit in circle and bring forth information. Wow. I've got to tell you, I've never heard about the Marys. I've never heard about these themes. This is Donna speaking. I'm not familiar with these, but that's what the record keepers told me. And I see that it's 11:55 in Cleveland Town, and that means we have to close. Well, those were great questions, you folks. I want to tell you, thank you so much for participating. Thanks for the call, Bill. Thank you for your questions, all of you. I so deeply appreciate you. So we have to close the records for this workshop, or this, if yeah, that's the way I feel about these radio programs. They're like workshops themselves. So I want to thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones of all these wonderful beings of light who are listening, who will listen, who are here. We thank the masters, teachers, and loved ones for all their wonderful healing wisdom, all their dimensional information, and all their energy upliftment. And we ask that all those here, may they truly look into the mirror and see into the heart of the divine as their burdens are lifted and their hearts are opened. And with that, we close the records and say amen, amen, amen. The records are now closed for the Akashic Wisdom Internet Radio Show on April 20th, 2008. May you all have a wonderful week. Get your questions ready. Come back to me. I can't wait to hear from you next week. And remember, you are divine. And remember your magnificence. I love you all. Have a great week. Bye-bye.